Parshas Vayechi, Chazak, Venis Chazek. A beautiful parasha, the Birchas Yaakov. The Birchas Yaakov is Moli Brachas. We'll discuss some of that a little bit later. I just want to start now with two contradictory vertlach. Okay, total opposite extremes. Mikotze lakotze. And you tell me which one is correct. What do I mean? Parasha begins, Vayechi Yaakov Yeretz Mitzrayim. The parasha begins with Yaakov Avinu. He lives in the land of Mitzrayim for 17 years. These are the golden years of Yaakov. The most wonderful years. Can you imagine such an existence? Surrounded by all of his children, all tzaddikim, and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and he's living, they're successful, there's what to eat. Everything. When Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, the 7 years of famine stopped, was suspended. There was supposed to be 7 years of famine, but with the arrival of Yaakov Avinu, the Gezerah was suspended. There was immediately blessing, and the land prospered, and children of Yaakov, they lived in Goshen. We don't really have all that many details, but the Shibud did not yet begin, and it was a good life. He lived there for 17 years, Vayehi Yimei Yaakov, and then it tells us that his life came to an end eventually. How old is he when he died? Vayehi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav, Sheva Ashanim, 7 years, V'arbum Ma'ashana, 147 years. Rashi, what does Rashi say on this pasuk? Lama Parsha Zo Stuma, why is this parsha a parsha Stuma? Lefi shekevon shenifta Yaakov Avinu nistemu einehem v'libam shel Yisrael mitzoras hashibud sheschilu l'shabda. So Rashi right away over here points out that this parsha Svayichi begins without any break, any space before any. There's nothing separating Parshas Vayechi from Parshas Vayigash. Ordinarily, this we will learn today in the morning. Either there is called a Parsha Stuma or a Parsha Psucha. Parsha Stuma is where the end of the previous perek, end of the previous section, ends on the beginning of the line, and the next section begins on the same line, the end of the line. But there's a gap of space of approximately 9 empty letters between the end of the previous section and the beginning of the next section. A parsha psucha is where the parsha ends in the middle of the line, and the next parsha begins on the beginning of a new line. A parsha stuma, where the parsha begins at the end of the line, I guess we can compare it to what we call a new paragraph. And when it's a parsha psucha, where the previous parasha ends in the middle of the line, the next parasha begins in the beginning of the next line, we can compare that to a new chapter. So every parasha that we learn in the Torah begins either at the end of the line or the beginning of a new line. If I'm not mistaken, I think they all are all parasha psuchas. I think they all begin beginning of a new line. And if that's the case, this is the only one, it's not the only exception. The parasha Svayichi begins in the middle of there's no blank space separating it from the previous parsha. That's not what we would expect. It's like you're just going from one sentence to the next sentence. Shouldn't there be something more significant to separate the parashios HaShavua? So Rashi answers the question, and he says that being that in this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu will pass away, Yaakov Avinu will die, and with his death, the Shibud of Mitzrayim will begin, Va'avodum, the inui oisam arba me'oshana will begin. For they were there for 210 years, and it went in different stages until it reached the worst stage of 86 years of crushing labor, until the geula, and it began with his death. Therefore, to be merames, to be mesamel, that the tsoras hashibud began. That's why there is no space. And Rashi explains a little bit more by telling us that the absence of space represents the closing of the heart and the eyes. Kev lama parasha zu stuma. The answer is the fisher kevon sheniftar Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu has passed away, or will loosely translate will pass away in this parasha. Nistemu Einayhem v'libam shel Yisrael, their eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people were closed, mitzaras hashibud, due to the difficulty of the servitude. Shehischilu l'shabdam, they began to enslave the Jewish people. Then he said another pshat, another achir, another pshat. Shebikish legalis saketz lebanav, Yaakov wanted to reveal Mashiach, the end of days, to his children. He gave them the blessings. V'nista mimenu, and it was denied. The Ribbono shel Olam, he shut them down. V'nista mimenu, the Ruach HaKodesh departed as a sign that you shall not tell this information to your children. So the stima was either the hearts of, so what is the word sasum alluding to? Either the hearts and eyes of the Jewish people, or the intellect of the Ruach HaKodesh of Yaakov Avinu. All right. Now, so it's bad news. Basically, we're getting off the parsha on a bad foot. Bad news. A parsha stum. The Ribbono shel Olam never, ever delivers to a person a blow without compensating with a kiss. And we can look at this from many angles. Although this parsha indeed is a stuma, how does it end? The parsha begins as a parsha stuma. How does it end? Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. And then there are four empty lines. Four empty lines between this parsha and the next parsha. Now, by the way, let's take a step back. What is the purpose of having empty space? Why indeed are there chapter breaks and paragraph breaks in the Torah? The Torah is not a newspaper. Why are there these wide open gaps? So Chazal tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim to learn Torah for 40 days and 40 nights, it was not continuous. Moshe Rabbeinu had a coffee break every so often. Now, they didn't serve in heaven coffee because Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, maybe they did. Moshe says, Mayim lo yishosisi. I didn't drink water. I had cappuccino. I had a cup of coffee. They didn't serve water, but they served coffee. Okay, lechem lo yachalti. I didn't just eat bread. I had a steak. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu in Shemayim, he had a break. Moshe did not learn continuously. There were moments in time when Moshe Rabbeinu was time out. Why? Chazal tell us, revach lehispoinein bein inyan leinyan. Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being. And a human being needs time off. He needs time to absorb, to reflect, to take it all in. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu some very complex matters. And Moshe Rabbeinu needed time to review, to absorb it, to digest the information. And Hashem gave him some time off. Every time Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah put in between one section and another section blank space, that was symbolic that in Shemayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught this to me, those 40 days and 40 nights, I got a break after this lesson. You know, you have in the Torah, even in Parashas Mishpatim, some one-liners. Okay, some one-liners. Look at the Aseres HaDibros. Loi Tirtzach. And then there's a Parashas Stuma. Just those two words, Moshe Rabbeinu had to sit and reflect what exactly that means. Every time Moshe Rabbeinu put in the Torah a blank space, this is symbolic of in telling us that when Hashem taught me this section, there was so much information jam-packed into this mitzvah, and the complexity is so enormous. Hashem had to give me a break to let me collect my thoughts, to digest the information. I need revach lehispoinein bein inyan leinyan. When we're in galus, we suffer. The whole essence of galus is suffering. It's not where we belong. There are problems, and we need time between one problem and the next to recover, to digest, to deal with. If everything would come upon us at one moment in time, we couldn't handle it. We need in our own lives things, situations, and issues and problems to be spaced out in time, because if every single difficulty in life came upon us at exactly the same moment in time, we would be thoroughly overwhelmed and we could not function. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'roiv rachamav, in the abundance of his mercy, does not overwhelm us. We have emunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us what we can handle, and he gives us in galus revach lehisponein ben inyan leinyan. He gives us a break. He gives us time to deal with rachmana litzlan, a difficult time. He gives us space. When rachmana litzlan, a person is dealing with problems and has no space, has no time, no space, does not have the resources to deal with the problem, then he's overwhelmed. That's exactly what's happening over here. Breathing space, exactly. Over here, you know, we've been dealing over here all along with difficulties since the birth of the Shvatim. Before that, go back. Everything is a difficulty. Yaakov and Esav, there was a quarrel. There was a fight between Yaakov and Esav. Wanted to kill Yaakov. Yaakov had to run away. Yaakov went to Lavan. Lavan deceived him. He wanted to marry Rachel. He gave him Leah. And this happened, and that happened. And this one didn't have children. And that one didn't have children. And this one got into a fight. That one got into a fight. Yet throughout the entire Chumash Bereishis, as we're dealing with one issue after another, we have a Parsha Psucha, a Parsha Stuma, the Rebbeinu, and everything that happens in the Torah is Maise Ovoi Simin Labanim. History repeats itself. And after every situation, whether it's the Maisa of Dina, it's the Maisa of the Palishtim, or with Paro and Avraham with Sarah, and with going a famine, they go down to Egypt, and then they meet Yosef, and Yosef says, "Oh, well, you're spies." There's always here and there a parsha break to give us revach lehisponein ben inyan leinyan. The ability to deal with all of the issues. Hashem has rachmanis upon us. But here is the first time where we're learning that Hashem is taking away from us even that. It's not just that we're now beginning to encounter difficulties in life. The difficulties are going to become intense, to the point where we're not going to have the breathing space. And that's the worst. That's what's called nistimu einehem v'libam. When a person has a situation, it's painful. But at least your eyes are open, your heart is open, and you can deal with it. You can be responsible. And you can use it as a religious stepping stone to learn a lesson, a moral lesson, how to become a better person, to grow through this painful experience. But when there are so many issues and there's no breathing space, there's no revach, there's no space to contemplate between one section, the next section, then what do you get out of this? You have a tzara, rachmana litzlan, and you're not even able to deal with it, and you're not able to grow from it, to use it as a tool to learn a lesson, to prepare for the future. That's what happens now. When the Klal Yisrael, when the Shiva begins, part of the curse of Avodim, the Inui Oysam, is there's no revach lehisponein. Bin inyan l'inyan. And that's what Rashi is telling us. And Yaakov Avinu, as long as the others were alive, the tzoros, the difficult things in life, always were packaged with revach. And the packaging of revach transformed a tzora into a learning experience, into growth. But with the passing of Yaakov Avinu, all of the difficulties that we encounter in Golos are not packaged with Revach. And if there's no revach to package a tzara, a difficulty, it is extremely difficult to grow and to use a difficult situation as a means, as a tool to become a better person. We're just in defense mode, in response mode to dealing with the situation. This parasha begins stuma, because Yaakov's going to pass away. And with his passing away, the type of difficult situations don't have any packaging, any breathing space. And that creates a problem where our eyes and hearts are closed. We don't know what, why. Why did this happen? What's the message? What's the solution? What are we supposed to take away from this? And likewise, goes together with the Kates. How is this going to help us bring Mashiach? If we understand why we're dealing with difficult situations, we will be able to use it as a tool to come closer to Mashiach, to the Kates Hayomin. But if we don't have that ability, then if we don't have that breathing space, then we can't be able to use it as a springboard to go forward to Mashiach, to see the Kates that was taken away from us as well. Now, here's where comes the Vard I want to tell you. Although it's true that there is no space, but Hashem doesn't just patch us. With one hand, he gives us a patch. On the other hand, he gives us a knepel. I don't know if that's the right word. Or he gives us a kiss on the other side, which, on the other cheek. Because when the parsha is over, there's a massive amount of space. There are four empty lines. In between Parshas Bereshis and Parshas Shemois, Chumash Bereshis, Chumash Shemois, there are four lines. There's Revach. There's not just Revach. There's like the Svartim who say Kaddish. There's Revach. There's real space at the end of this parsha. To teach us this light at the end of the tunnel. Although we've been denied, how much space should there have been between Parshas Vayigash and Parshas Vayichi? 9 letters. 9 little letters. That's all you need. And how much space at the end are we getting? 4 massive lines. There's a Musa. It's not Parshas Vayigash that's called the Parshas Stuma. It's not Parshas Vayetze. It's Parshas Vayichi. Parshas Vayichi is followed by Parshas Shemos. And in between Vayichi and Shemos is a lot of space. It's true. It's intense. The tzorois are kifulois. They're doubled over. But there's a plan. We have to have emunah. There's a plan. And the more intense it is, the more we could expect, the more that we're missing that space in between, the more we can expect an enormous expanse of revach, of harchovas hadas, of understanding, of appreciation, awareness of what all of this is about. Okay, this past year has been quite a year. You probably had your share of jokes that you've seen the last few weeks about the year 2020, okay, in the secular year, but in general, we're in a very difficult tekufa of there's no revach. It's never been a time like this, at least not in recent times, of there's just no revach, lehisboinein, ben inyin leinyin. Just when you thought it's safe, you got another problem. There's another issue. We go from one thing to the next, whether it's lockdown, whether it's riots, whether it's election, whether it's vaccine, or whether it's parnasa, or dealing with b'chol hanilvim alav, dealing with so many different issues, one after the other. There's no revach, l'spoin ben inyin l'inyin. Why? We don't know why. But we have to look at the parsha. In this parsha, there's no revach. But at the end, there's an enormous amount of revach, which represents an enormous amount of good blessing that's waiting there. Blessing, the ultimate blessing of an openness of the mind to appreciate, to understand how everything comes together, everything has a purpose, everything is all for our ultimate good. Now let's go a little bit further. Although,
by the way, so thank you very much. It's beautiful what you said. I'm thinking about another thing. The revachim are for Torah shebaal peh. Torah shebichtav, you read. Okay, now you need explanation. Where is that in Torah shebaal peh? It's not written. It's a space. That's what it means. The bonen, maybe.
What do you mean? Revach lehisboinen, right?
He said, don't write it. There is a lot to say more about this section. If it's a mitzvah, lot yotzach.
The Torah Shebaal Peh. Correct. Right. The Torah Shebaal Peh. Revach lehisboinen in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Absolutely. Okay. Now let's build upon what you just said, and let's look at this. Let's look at this pasuk one more time. Now I'm going to tell you two things that are going to be contradictory. First of all, we laid out the basic foundation of what it means to be lacking space, and the contrast between the beginning of the parasha and the parasha with Tzoras Hashibud. How much space should there have been? If everything was normal, there should have been 9 letters. In between a parsha, one parsha, and the next parsha, the halachic requirement demands empty space equivalent to 9 letters. That's halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. We don't have that. We just have one space. But there really should be 9 letters. And that's absent. That space of 9 letters is absent. What does the number 9, the letter test, represent? The letter test represents, now this is a little bit more like gematria type of thing, but what is the letter test? The first time it says the letter test is found in the Torah. The very first time the letter test appears, which word does it appear in? Toiv, good. The letter test is symbolic of the principle of Toiv, good. What is the gematria of Toiv? 17? Everyone knows. Toiv is 17. How many years did Yaakov Avinu live in Eretz Mitzrayim? 17 years. Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Sheva Esrei Shana. 17 years. Toiv. It's not the pshat that the Kaddish Baruch Hu, he denied us the revach lehispoinein bin inyin linyan. There should have been 9 empty space. We want revach. We want revach. We need the packaging. Life is difficult. You need breathing space. Hashem, look what you did to us. We have tainus on you. Everyone walks around with tainus on the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no living creature in this world that doesn't have complaints against Hashem. Unjustified complaints. It's human nature. What can you do? It's human nature. We have complaints. You took away the revach. Where's the 9? Hashem says, I didn't take it away from you. I hid it. You don't even realize it. I hid it not in just empty space. I gave you 17 years of revach. Yaakov Avinu, in this parasha, Yaakov Avinu is going to pass away. And when he passes away, Nistemu Einayim V'Livam Shel Yisrael. It's going to happen. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing us, he's giving us the refuah koidem the makah. Before the makah comes, and our eyes are going to be closed, and our hearts are going to be sealed, and there's going to be a denial of the letter tes, of the toiv, of that revach of toiv. Let me give you something better. I'll give you the tes, those 9, in the form tes is 17. Okay, you were missing the tes. Tes is a symbol of toiv. The first time the letter tes appears in the Torah is the word toiv. I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm going to give you the refuah koydim, the makkah. I'm going to give in Mitzrayim the first 17 years of the reduced shama. You're going down to Egypt. You're going down to Egypt for 17 years. You go for 210 years. The first 17 years, I'm giving you Yaakov Avinu to be your leader. He's going to teach you. He's going to inspire you. He's going to have your full attention. There are going to be no distractions those first 17 years. No problems. There's no Maisadina. There's no Lavan. There's no Esav. There's no Mechiras Yosef. It's unreal. Unreal what you got here these first 17 years. And these 17 years, Yaakov Avinu is going to lead. He's going to teach. He's going to guide. He's going to put into you such emuna, so much Yirah Shamayim, that it will carry you for the next 210 years, all the way until you get out of here, until you get to Har Sinai. So don't think I took away from you the Tov. Yaakov Avinu is going to pass away. It's going to happen. But the refuah is koydim the makom. I'm giving it to you now in a much more glorious form. It's going to be very difficult, very intense. But you'll always have where to draw from in order to find that revach lehispoinein in the difficult years that are about to come, where the tsarois are kefulois, the intensity will be very much. You'll be able to draw from your ancestor, from Yaakov Avinu. Okay, now that is a very positive art. Now I want to tell you a very dark art. The dark side of the moon. We learned the light side of the moon. Now I want to tell you the dark side of the moon. And this art, I am certain not everyone is going to like or appreciate, but I believe there's a kernel of truth in it, and that's worthy of repeating. Let me start with something very nasty. I once heard a person say about someone, I read this somewhere, there was a person, it's a horrible thing to say, but it really captures everything I'm about to say is, a person who died, he was 100 years old. He lived to the ripe old age of 100 years old. And they wrote about him, he died when he was 30 years old, but was buried at 100. He died at 30 and was buried at 100. What does that mean? After 30 years in this world, he stopped growing. From 30 until 100, he just cruised along. He just went from one vacation, to one job, to one chumash party, to another chumash party, to a sitter party, to one grandchild's house, to another one. He didn't do anything. He just cruised along. He did not grow in Yirah Shamayim. He didn't apply himself to become anything special. When he was born, he went to school, elementary school, high school, very competitive. He went to a very elitist high school. He went to an Ivy League college. He went to a law school, medical school, became the biggest doctor in his field. And by the time he was 30 years old, he settled into his life. He got a good job, a very good salary. He didn't have to work too hard. And that was it. He cruised along for the rest of his life. And he died at the age of 100 years old. This person, when did he die? He died when he was 30. When was he buried? When he was 100. That summarizes his life. Actually, someone I know died not that long ago. I was very distraught that he died. I was in contact with him. An older person, an older fellow. He died from corona. Not recently, a little bit back, maybe 2-3 months ago, whatever it was. And I met someone who worked for him. He had a certain business, and we were just, talking about him. And I said, like, what a tragedy, he died. So in the conversation, he said to me, "I'll tell you the truth. It's very tragic. Yeah, everything you say, I'll tell you the truth, it worked for him. I know him very, very well. He died 2 years ago. He didn't die. He didn't die 2 months ago. I'm telling you, he died 2 years ago. He had a lot of different issues in his life, which were very sensitive, which I'm not going to, whatever. He told me certain things, and there were certain things. It bothered him to no end. And he had health issues, all these different things. He shut down. He literally shut down 2 years ago. He was not here. I mean, he was alive. He was walking around. There was no one home. There was no one home 2 years ago. It's tragic. He died now. Yeah, he was buried now. Suddenly, Corona, this, that. He died 2 years ago. Rachmana Litzlan is such a principle where a person, it's over. And then they cruise along. Rachmana Litzlan, it's a very frightening thing. Question. Here's the question I want. We have. It's a very basic question. All the Mepharshim ask. Yaakov Avinu did not die in the beginning of Parashas Vayechi. Yaakov Avinu dies, which Aliyah is it? He dies the end of the Parsha. He dies in Shishi. So why is the lesson, and by the way, over there, there's no, and all there, everything is, it's smooth sailing. There are no psuchas and stumas later on. So what does a Parsha stuma in the beginning of Parsha Vayechi have anything to do with Yaakov Avinu's death? If it would be, the pasuk begins, Vayomos Yaakov, Vayigva, Vayosef Elamov. And that pasuk would begin with a parsha psucha. And the Torah takes away the parsha psucha, sandwiches the pasuk, denies you the space, and puts it right next to the previous pasuk. Then, oh, I get it. Why does the death of Yaakov Avinu not begin with the nine letters that he's entitled to? Because when Yaakov Avinu dies, Nistemu Libam Veneim Shel Yisrael. I get it, self-explanatory. But it says here in the pasuk, Vayichi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. This is not the place, just because this pasuk is sourced from the pasuk before, very nice. But this is not relevant to the drush. It's a very nice vart. It would be a very nice vart if the vart was said on the pasuk where it tells you that he died. He's not dying anytime soon. He's living for another 17 years, and there's a lot going on, and there are all the brachas of Ephraim and Menashe, and the brachas of his children. So this is not the appropriate place to make the drasha. What's going on over here? Why is the drasha over here? So here is where it gets dark, Rabbi Yisai. Dark element. When did Yaakov die? He died when he came to Mitzrayim. What do you mean? It says, Vayichi Yaakov. Yeah, he lived, that's right. He was physically alive. But it's very disturbing that nothing really happened during these 17 years. He cruised along. The whole Chumash Bereishis, he has this problem, he has that problem. Ma'is Adin and Shechem. He has rivalry between his wives. He has one wife is an Akara. The other wives are fighting. Lavan steals, Lavan deceives him. He doesn't have Parnasa. Eliphaz tries to kill him. Esav hates him. He has to meet Esav. He doesn't know what's going to be now. The whole Chumash Bereishis, Yaakov doesn't have a moment to breathe. He doesn't have a moment to breathe. Every other second he has to watch his back. Every other moment he's dealing with heavy things. And now finally, Baruch Hashem, the golden years. Finally, Vayechi Yaakov. He's entitled now to live out his last 17 years with his children in Einiklach, Nachas, and Bracha. Right? Isn't that the attitude we all have? Rashi says, guess what? He just died. Vayechi Yaakov. Rashi shakes us up. Lama parasha zustuma. Excuse me. Shekevan Shenifter Yaakov Avinu. It says here Vayichi Yaakov. Rashi, do you know how to read? It says Vayichi Yaakov. What do you mean Shenifter? In the past tense, he died. He didn't die. Nothing. He's alive and well. He's alive and kicking. Shekevan Shenifter Yaakov Avinu. What are you talking about, Rashi? What in the world? He's alive. So what are you going to answer me? Rashi really means to say that since he will die, since down the line, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Chamishi, Shishi, they call up the Rebbe for Shishi, in this Aliyah, he will die. So why does it say Sheniftar? Yeah, in hindsight, that since when you read the parasha, it's already been 3,500 years since he died, Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, you'll have 1,000 answers to answer the question I just gave you. But you know something? The question is better than all of the 1,000 answers that you're going to give me. How can Rashi say, Lefi Shekevan Shenifta Yaakov Avinu? He didn't die. He's alive. This drush is out of place. Something does not make sense here. Sorry. Does not add up. You know what the answer is? You know what Rashi is telling you? I read the parasha. It doesn't seem that for the rest of the parasha he had any problems the rest of his life. Everything here is smooth sailing. So you know what that means? It took 17 years for him to be buried. He just died. The moment he came down to Egypt is the last time he had to deal with an issue in his life. He had also a big deal. Should he go to Egypt? Should he not go to Egypt? To leave the Eretz HaKodesh? To leave Eretz Yisrael? How could you leave Eretz Yisrael? Hashem says to him, go. Hashem appears to him and says to him, go down to Mitzrayim. You have to go. The Shibud has to begin. You have to go. You don't have a choice. Sorry, Yaakov, you have to go down. That's the way it goes. You have to go. Take your whole family. You have to go. And then he has to see Yosef. And there's a whole, how does he deal with Yosef? What does he do? And then he has to go to Paro. What do you say to Paro? There are a lot of very important lessons that happened in last week's parasha. Every single thing was a major lesson, a major conflict, a major struggle. And that's it. At the end of Parashas Vayigash, there are no, it says, Vayeshev Yisrael. Look at the last words of last week's parasha. Vayeshev Yisrael, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'eretz Goyshen, Vayeochazuba. They took possession of it. Vayefru vayirbu ma'od. What's the translation? They lived happily ever after. No more problems. Smooth sailing for the rest of his life. You know what that means? It means he died. It just takes some time to get buried. There's a delay. The weather's not good. There's traffic. There are issues. It takes time. Yaakov Avinu died, but he was alive. Yeah, he was alive. He was alive. He was enjoying life, whatever the reason was. But this is where he died. Now let me expand upon that with another avard, and we'll tie it all together. When Yaakov Avinu dies, it says something about his death that I have. Correct me if I'm wrong. It does not say about any other person in the entire Tanakh. Maybe I'm wrong, but Rabbi Mayevsky is Bucky Muflik in Tanakh will tell me if I'm wrong about this. It says, Vayyosef Raglov. Shishi, Yaakov Avinu is dying. Vayichal Yaakov, he concludes Litzavois as Bonov to command his children. Vaye Esoif Raglov, he gathers in his feet El Hamito to the bed. Vayigva, he expires. I don't even know what that word means exactly. The Targum says v'is negid. I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. It means to die. It's an expression of dying, to expire. They translate it in English to expire. I don't know what that really means. Vayeosef el amav, he's ingathered. What does that mean? I don't know. All of his relatives in Shemaim, they come to greet him, and they take him into the Olam HaEmes, something like that. I don't know what these things mean. Fine. Okay, Does it say the word Misa? Rashi makes the point by telling us it does not say the word Vayomos. Yaakov lo meisko, that's a drush. It doesn't say the word Misa, but it says Vayigva. It says Vayosef. That's serious stuff. Those words mean dying in my book. When Yosef dies, what does it say about Yosef when he dies?
Vayomos Yosef.
It says Vayomos Yosef. Okay? So it does say Misa by Yosef. So there are many words you can use to reflect upon death. Misa, Vayomos, Vayigva, Vayosef. What does it say? Vayishkav. Okay, the Haftorah. In the Haftorah, we learn about a fourth term. Vayikruvu yimei David lomus. At the end of the Haftorah, it says, Vayishkav David im avoisa. It doesn't say the word death either. It says Vayishkav, but that means he died. So we have at least four words. Vayishkav, Vayomos, Vayigva, and Vayosef. At least four very different terms to describe the moment that we call dying. And if we study the Ishei HaTanach, upon whom the Torah records their death, it's unique. Everyone has a unique expression. The way it's worded, which word is selected, the form of the word, the grammatical form of the word, the order. It's a very interesting topic to go look at all of the Ishei HaTanach. Maybe there's another word, Vayihorig. Vayihorig, he was killed. Kehariga, it was Neherag. Neherag, that's also a word which means that he left this world. Has a different connotation, obviously. Has the connotation that he was killed. Whatever the connotation is, okay, we don't have to elaborate, but there, it's already a fifth word. Hariga, Asifa, Vayigva, Vayamos. You take all the Ishei HaTanach, line them up, and look at the expressions, look at how they're used.
Retzach.
What?
Retzach also was murdered.
Ritzicha, okay, good. Another word, a sixth word, Ritzicha, Rotzach, Nirzach, Nirzach. Another word, Ritzicha. Six words. Each word is unique. But there's one expression that only appears by Yaakov Avinu, that does not appear by any other creature, correct me if I'm wrong, in Tanakh. And that is this very bizarre thing of where it says that he gathered in his feet. What does that mean? Gathering your feet? When we talk about Asifa, Vaye Osef, look at the Mefarshim, they'll tell you the Neshama was collected by the relatives on the other end, in the other world. To gather in your feet? What does that mean? Let me find the place again, I lost the place. He gathers in his feet? What are the words? Vaye Esoif Raglov Weir El Hamita. What does this mean? So if you go look a little bit further down in Rashi, I mean, it's not only in the Rashi, and then later on, Rashi even says it over here, but this is a term, I didn't do my homework, but this is a term which is used in Chumash, at least in Chumash, I know we had it before, at least once, maybe twice, is the word, read the Rashi. The Rashi here says, this is a Rashi that's not related to this topic, but Rashi just happens to use the expression just like mamash, like a hashkacha pahasha, coincidence, in order to get an appreciation of what this word may mean. Rashi later on says pasuk gimel, in the next parak, vayivku oisoy mitzrayim shivim yoim, they cried. All of the Egyptians mourned over Yaakov Avinu for how long? For 70 days. Okay, Shem Yom, and Rashi there says, Arborim Lachanita, 40 days they embalmed him, whatever that means. They filled up his body with different spices, different oils, which preserved his body. Ushlosh Lebuchia, and 30 days they cried. Why would the Egyptians care less to mourn over Yaakov Avinu? And Rashi answers, Lefi sheba'olohem birocha lirag lov. Because blessing came to the Egyptians lirag lov. On behalf of Yaakov Avinu. So how does Rashi here use the word liraglov? It means Yaakov's presence, liraglov, his literally means his feet, but that's not to be taken literally. It means bigololecha, because of it, like we say, we have love and said to Yaakov Avinu, nichashti vayavarcha lokim bigololecha. There's also a
pasuk,
but there's another pasuk somewhere that actually uses the same exact expression and uses the word liraglov somewhere in Bereishis. Liraglov. Liraglov basically means because of you, Yaakov Avinu, we have prospered. We have been successful. It was in your merit. Your righteousness is what caused this land to be successful. Now that Yaakov Avinu died, the blessing is gone. The zechus is no longer. We're on our own. We're finished. What are we going to do now? They cried. They didn't cry because they were mourning a tzaddik. They were crying because they're not going to get a bonus next year. This was the last year, the year-end savings, year-end bonus. No more bonuses. When Yaakov Avinu was here, we had a job and we had a bonus. Now, not only are we not getting a bonus, it's not even likely we'll get a job. And if we'll get a job, our wages will be a fraction of what we used to get. So they're crying out of their own selfishness. But they cried because Yaakov Avinu liraglov. Thus, I want to suggest that when it says here that Yaakov Avinu vayesoif raglov el hamito, it does not say this about anyone else but Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu was doing something different than others. Let me. What do I mean? Let's contrast for a moment the Haftarah. The end of the Haftarah, David dies. When David dies, who succeeds David? Shlomo. Shlomo's a good son. He's a good man. And what does his pasuk, the last pasuk in the Haftarah, say? Ushlomo Yoshav. He sat al kisei David. Why didn't Shlomo sit on his own chair? Separate seating. No, today, yeah, you go to a dinner, it's separate seating. Everyone sits on their own chair. Right? Dr. Fruchter, when you go to a separate seating, right? What does separate seating mean? Men, yes. And women? Men and women on two different sides? A mechitza? Separate seating doesn't mean men on one side of the wall and women on the other side of the wall. Separate seating means everyone sits in their own chair. Social distancing. You sit in your own chair, separate seating, right? Everyone sits in your own chair. So why is Shlomo sitting in the chair of David? It says, Shlomo Yoshav, he sat, al kisei David, Aviv, his father. Vatikon, what did he do? Why don't you make your own business, your own malchus? No. Vatikon, he established malchuso. Who's malchus? The malchus of David, Ma'od. Since the pasuk says he sat on the throne of David, and then it says malchuso, it sounds like everything Shlomo did was to strengthen the malchus of David. Shlomo was living in the past. He was living in the past. He was living in the zuchus of David. And that's correct. That's how it's supposed to be when it comes to malchus. When it comes to malchus, you don't sit in your own chair. You sit in the chair of your predecessor, of your father. And the malchus is not yours, it's David's malchus. That's the way it's supposed to be. This Haftorah is a contrast. It's not just ditto of the parasha. It's a stark contrast to the parasha. In the parasha, Yaakov Avinu dies, and he makes a very powerful statement to his children. And he says to them, don't rely upon me. Don't think you're going to continue to live the rest of your lives in my merit. Make a life for yourself. Have your own zuchot. Don't live your whole life in my yichus, in my shadow. Make a life for yourself. When Yaakov Avinu dies, you know what he does? He says, you know what? I'm pretty good. You know, my zuchus, this whole land has done very, very well. I'm dying now. So when I die, you know what I can do if I really want? I can say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, my zuchus, oimed es lo'ad, this land should be blessed forever. Let my merit endure. Let it carry this land on these people for the next 100 years. I have enough credit in my account to keep this country going for another couple of generations. He could have done that in a heartbeat. But you know what he did? He said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm packing up. I'm taking everything with me. I'm collecting my zuchusim and I'm taking it with me to the next world. You know why? Not because I need it in the next world. I want my children to make a name for themselves. They should have a life for themselves. They should accomplish something on their own. They shouldn't live their whole life in the zuchus of the tata, in the zuchus of the zeda. I can be an oisvarf. All I gotta say, my last name is this. Oh, all the doors open up for me. That's not a life. Yaakov Avinu, when he died, he did something that no one ever did. He said, I'm taking all of my zuchusim with me. You're not gonna be able to go live off my coattails. I want it that way. I want you to work. I want you to harava. I want you to be tzaddikim in your own right. What again are the words? Are the words of the pasuk? The words are, Ve'yachal Yaakov litzavos es banav. He commands his children. He gives over his last will and testament. And then, you know what he says? Don't rely on me. There's no money for any of you. I'm not leaving you, any one of you, one penny. And worse, I'm not leaving for you any zuchusim. Don't go say, Zuchusa yogein oleinu. Don't go say at my funeral, I should be for you a melech yosher. Don't say that. Be for yourself a melech yosher. Do some mitzvahs, do some chesed, learn some Torah. Be a good person. Get a job. Don't go live off someone else's money. Do something for yourself. That's all included in the four words. Vayesoif raglov el hamit. What does it mean, raglov? Raglov means my merits. My merits in which you live and thrive in. As Rashi himself says, Lefi shebalohem biracha, the whole land of Egypt was filled with bracha, li raglov, in the merit of Yaakov Avinu. No more raglov for any of you. I'm taking it with me. I'm gathering it in. Ordinarily, you don't have to gather it in. Leave this world and leave it over. Leave your merits for other people to live on. People need zuchusim to live on. So we'll live off your zuchusim. No, you got to take care of yourself. Now, take that idea that I mentioned.
It's interesting. Yeah. Yaakov was always insecure about his zechuyos. Then had he used them up? Is he going to keep them?
Okay.
And so on. And this is the same person.
But now at the end of his life, he's able to reflect a little bit differently. Masha yaseh hazman lo yaseh haseichel. When he was a young man, he was insecure. Now he learned the game. He learned to play the game.
I just wanted to fill you in on the other place where it says
Raglov. Good, yeah.
It's after the Chalom with the Sulam, it says Vayiso Yaakov Raglov. It fits in very nicely.
There's another pasuk. There's another pasuk.
I know. You,
there's
I
something I know.
When you started the thing and then it flew out of my head.
There's another pasuk that says this.
Vayiso Yaakov Raglov.
Okay, that's it, right.
The same thing.
Okay, it's all right. Fits
in. He was sitting up in bed, so now he lay down, so he took his feet off the floor.
Okay. All right, we're not talking about Adech Pshat. Obviously, the simple translation means he was sitting down, he put his feet into the bed. Okay. That's just too simplistic. And that's not something that, you're going to go tell me, and he buttoned his, put on his pajamas? It's not necessary for the pastor to tell that he picked up his feet and put them into the bed. I mean, that's like he called for the nurse. Call for the nurse. You know, give me something to drink before I die. I mean, that's ridiculous. The Torah, Derech Pshat, he picked up his feet and put into the bed. Thank you very much. It's not something that you would expect the pasuk to tell you. It's telling you obviously something a lot more. And the word raglov means his merits, his zuchuyos. I'm not leaving. I want you to make for yourself a life for yourself. Now, let's put this all together. We'll start off here today with the beginning of the parasha Stuma. It's the parasha Stuma. Yaakov Avinu will die. Okay, let's review, we can. Yaakov Avinu in this parasha, when Rashi says, Kevin Sheniftar, it means today, in 2021, Shniftar, we can look back and say that he died. Or you'll say, oh, Rashi means he will die. Translated incorrectly, he will die. But, and so what is, so, and according to that interpretation, the tzaris are going to begin. Yet Yaakov Avinu is going to do what? I'm still here. I'm going to be here for another 17 years. I'm going to get you ready. You're going to live off my zechus. Not just now, but for the next 210 years. I'm telling you, two verlach that are completely the opposite. We started today with a vart that is totally opposite. Yaakov Avinu will die. But before he leaves, listen, I got 17 more years. And this is the toiv. This is the missing space. The missing space are the 17, there's supposed to be nine letters. Nine is tes. Tes is toiv. Toiv is bigamashu 17. Yaakov's living 17 years. I'm now going to invest in Klal Yisrael. I'm going to live for 17 years, teach you, guide you, be an inspiration for you, inject zechuyos in Klal Yisrael that you'll be able to live off until for 200 years until Yitzias Mitzrayim. That was our first interpretation. Our second word is the complete opposite. Vayichi Yaakov. Yaakov lived? He didn't live. Rashi corrects. You know how to translate Rashi says? In this pasuk, the word Vayichi does not mean live. It means there was a delay until he was buried. That's what it means. Kaven Shenifter Yaakov. That's what Rashi says. You don't know how to translate the word Vayichi. Vayichi does not mean he lived. It means his body was functioning, his heart was beating, there was a delay until he was buried for 17 years. But he was nifter right here. He lived for 17. What does it mean he lived for 17? Obviously, he obviously accomplished incredible things. And what's the proof? I'm not here anymore. I'm not here anymore. The only reason why I'm here for these next 17 years is to tell all of you people one thing. You better get your act together and shape up. Because I'm going soon. And when I'm gone, there's going to be no one to protect you. The last 17 years that he's waiting to be buried are not 17 years of investing in Klal Yisrael. They can live off his zuchuyos for the next 200 years. These next 17 years are years of Musar, telling his children, I already died. There's nothing more for me to do in this world. I'm only here for the next 17 years to tell you again and again, Musar, 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 you better shape up. Because as soon as I'm gone, I'm taking it all with me. And the only way you're going to be able to survive is in your own merits. And you better get ready for that. So I'm here 17 years to tell you that I'm dying. The complete opposite. The complete opposite. This second var really fits in better with Rashi says, and the end of the parsha. End of the parsha, he collected his legs and he left. And what were the brachos? The brachos were primarily harsh, harsh words of Musar. That's what the brachos were really all. There weren't such wonderful blessings. Every bracha was full of Musar, telling them, get your act together. So which is it, Rabbi Yisai? Is it the first approach? That Yaakov Avinu is investing in Klal Yisrael for 17 years? And you'll live off my zechuyos for the next 200 years? And my 17 years is the equivalent of the missing tes, the toiv? Or is it the other way around? And the answer is, Elu vo'elu divrei Elokim chayim. We all know good and well that life is complicated. Life is not one. Not only one dimension. In life, there are many layers of complexity, many dimensions, and within each layer, there are multiple layers. And during these 17 years, there's no question about it that both of these principles are true. On the one hand, these 17 years, he invested in Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, he certainly told them. Musa, prepare them, taught them the lesson. You have to learn how to stand on your own. The famous svar from many people say that. I heard in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Bar Soloveitchik. I actually heard Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb say the vart. He'emidu talmidim harbe. What does it mean, he'emidu? Lashon hifil. Stand them up on their own. Don't just teach a student Torah. Teach the student how to stand on it, he'emidu. Teach them how to stand on their own. Don't produce a Talmud where every day he has to call you up, Rebbe, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Teach them how to think for themselves, how to stand on their own. He'emidu, b'lashon hifil. Cause them to stand on their own. Yaakov Avinu for 17 years was preparing them to stand on their own. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, it's already 1 hour. I guess my time is up.
Vayivorech Hashem ol schol l'ragli. That's what you're talking
about. Yes, that's the pasuk. Vayivorech, yes, that is the pasuk. Excellent. That's the pasuk.
Initially, but it slipped out of
right, so what was the pasuk? Yaakov Avinu said to Lavan, Lavan, don't be no tzadikol. Vayivorech Hashem oischa, bless you, l'ragli. So what's the simple translation? In my merit. All of your success came because of me. And here, what does it say in this pasuk? Vayesoif es raglav. All of my merits, I'm taking with me to the next world. I'm not leaving it for you people to live off. Too bad for you. Have your own merits. But on the other hand, you know, Yaakov Avinu, he certainly didn't leave his children empty-handed. He was the good father. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. We should be zoicha to the harvocha, to revach. Revach, yishev adas, harchovas adas. Brocha v'hatzlocha, refua, yeshua, nechama, for us and all of Klal Yisrael. It's a wonderful Shabbos.
That's why the Lamude Nisan says, by Chi Yaakov, he's enjoying it too much. That's why right away it says, by Yikuvu Yimei Yisrael Amos. So what I added was, it just said the same way, Vayeshev Yaakov, Yeretz Megurei Aviv, is, you know, Bikesh Yaakov, Leshe, B'Sheka B'Shalva, Kofzol Arutzol Shliose. You can't take your foot off the pedal. You're Yaakov Avinu. This is what the life is supposed to be. Vayeshev Yaakov, Nistimu Einayim, he closed his eyes to watch the Tzoris because of by your boom by Atzmu. But in other words, Yosef told him, Babur Teshu Bieretz Goshen. I want you to stay in Goshen. Well, once you by your boom by Atzmu bemod miod, so it's a parsha stuma. They weren't watching and they assimilated little by little. And Yaakov didn't do anything about it. He was also enjoying.
Yeah, that's a popular. The popular approach is.
Yeah, that's you know, the way it is. They got sucked in. That's it. They should have stayed in Goshen, in the Kiryas Yoel.
Okay, Dr. Fruchter, good Shabbos. Dr. Fruchter, nice to see you. Good Shabbos. Ron, have a good Shabbos. Good to see you, Ron.
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. How's everything by you, Ron?
Cold.
It's cold. How are the Minyanim? How are the Minyanim going?
They're going.
Okay.
Good Shabbos.
Better than the mailman. Rain, sleet, or snow. We're out there.
Okay.
Where do you get the snow?
Last week we had plenty. 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos, Mark. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, Mark. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, Blazer. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Dr. Friedman, good Shabbos.
The Abravanel makes a very cute statement about you.